Well, what do you think about, I mean, the overall, what do you think about drunken drivers? Or is that drunk drivers? Anyway, what do you think about people who drink when they're drunk? Did I get it right? Okay. Anyway, you know, I hate to admit it, but before I got saved a long time ago when I was a young feller, and before the real dangers of drinking and driving were really brought to the forefront, well, I was just as bad as the rest of them. And this was even before they installed seatbelts in a lot of cars. And I would, you know, go to some place where they had booze and I'd drink it, or I'd park up the road and I'd drink it. You know, I wasn't a safe person and I wasn't a very nice guy and I took a lot of chances. So I know what I'm talking about when I say, what do you think about drunk driving? Right now, on being on the other side of salvation, where I'm so glad I belong now, I don't even drink. I don't go near any alcohol whatsoever or where people are drinking. And if I smell booze in somebody's breath, I'll move away from them, even if I'm standing in a crowd. I read a little notice here. I don't know where it came from, but anyway, it's clipped out, and I'm going to read it. It's called Drunk Drivers Get the Book. Drunk Drivers Get the Book. In other words, they throw the book at you, okay? In school, they say, well, okay, throw the book, but make sure it's not in large atlas. Anyway, serious now. In Canada, as in the United States, when someone is convicted of drunk driving, he or she is usually fined, and in some provinces, has his driver's license revoked for a specific time. In some other countries, well, the penalties are a little bit more severe. For, in Australia, example, the driver's names are sent to the local newspaper and are printed under the headline, he's drunk and in jail. Wow. In Malaya, the driver is jailed. If married, the offender's spouse goes to the jail also. So they throw her in with them. Well, has its ups and downs, I guess. In South Africa, the driver is given a 10-year prison sentence. Wow. A fine of $2,800 or both. Well, any of those would do a little bit of a number on someone, I would imagine. Now, in Turkey, drunk drivers are taken 20 miles out of town and forced to walk back under police escort. In San Salvador, drunk drivers are executed by firing squad. Now, that's a little food for thought, you know. What do we get around here? Mostly a slap on the wrist, a fine. They impound your car for a short period of time. Then you're back on the road again. I'm sorry, Judge. I know I did wrong, and it'll never happen again, I promise you. 2 weeks later, out on the road, run over some kid coming home from school and back in court again. Hey, Judge, I didn't know what happened. Well, there you go. What can you do when you live in a shoe? Anyway, I have a good message for you today. I hope that you will pay attention because it deals with our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, which has nothing to do with what I just read. However, I wanted to get your attention. Do I have your attention? Then let me please read to you 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Wouldn't you like to think now that all these people that get caught drinking and driving, that they would get saved? And just think, all these old drunken driving challenges would all disappear. I mean, the government won't give you your money back. I don't mean that. But I mean, you will lose the desire to want to drink and drive. Because the Holy Spirit comes in. Once you're saved, Holy Spirit indwells you, you lose the desire to do all those ugly, nasty things. Not to say you don't do some of them once in a while, because we all fall. We all fall while we're in this old flesh. But the Holy Spirit strengthens you. The Holy Spirit strengthens you, yeah. So get ready, people. Get ready, because we are going to bear this verse to its spiritual bone. And I say this respectfully. When I'm finished with this message, even you may desire to rip it out of your Bible. I hope not. I pray not. God's word has been hacked and ripped and torn enough times and changed. Oh, I pray you won't even think about that. However, if you desire to throw things at me, well, please don't make it your Bible, especially if it's a King James Bible, all right? All right, throw a chair or something. I don't care. First and foremost, well, I should warn you, I've already petitioned God for a squad of angels and an extra suit of armor. Okay? First and foremost, let me say this. It's really a welcome joy seeing smiling faces and to send people on their way rejoicing over the Word of God. You know, when I have that experience, something that I said or did, it just makes my day. People go up and I hear them talking, going out the door, you know, wasn't that nice? You know, I didn't know that. Oh, God has been so merciful, I'll tell you. I'm going to turn over a new leaf today. Oh, bless their hearts, especially the older ladies, you know, that they've been thinking they knew God all along, don't know him at all. Believe they're going to heaven, not going to heaven at all. Wow, what's going on there? Well, anyway, I like to look at the smiling face. Unfortunately, God has commissioned some of us preachers to send some of you away grumbling and complaining. Oh, I don't know. That doesn't sound too good. I mean, nobody in here goes away grumbling and complaining, do they? No. 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 And it's all, you know why they do that? It's all because that's what they've chosen to do. Because they have not accepted the truth of God's word. And the truth will make you free. Yes, it will. I've even considered to call my message the good, the bad, and the ugly. But God said, stick to the script. Stick to the script. I suppose the proper way to begin is to ask you all this question. Have old things passed away? Now, I'm not talking about your friends, your relatives, your underwear or other clothes. Have old things passed away? Ooh, old habits, you know? I can almost read some of your minds here right now. Where's he going with this? Huh? Well, before we bring down the proverbial hammer, as it were, let us back up to a couple of verses to 2 Corinthians 14. 14, yes, yeah, 2 Corinthians. Wait a minute. No, we're still in chapter 5, but verse 14. Back up to verse 14. Okay, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's the verse. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. simply means that Christ died for everyone. He died for all. And those who accept him are dead. Dead to sin. Not dead, dead, you know. Dead to sin. There's a lot more on that. You should read up on it. All we have to do is repent. You know, have a change of mind and believe. Then we are dead to sin. Then we are sanctified. Then we are justified. And he did it all. Verse 15. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us, or rather has given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. Isn't that nice? That's it, right there in black and white. God said it. I believe it. Then we'll turn to what I consider one of the most powerful verses I've ever read, verse 21. Still there, go to verse 21. 2 Corinthians. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, a lamb without blemish. Do you get the picture here? Sometimes people, I don't know, they just don't want to grasp that. You know, when we say, he is a new creature, all things are passed away, old things are become new, or all things have become new. When we say, for he hath made him, now, okay, let's look at this here. For he, for who? God. God made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. By going to the cross. And he, God, or Jesus Christ, knew no sin, right? He was sinless. And by him going to the sin and taking all our dirty baggage with him, of all the world, that is, and sacrificing himself, stepping into the breach, all our sin is covered by his blood. Shed right there at Calvary. He's the lamb without blemish. He's the one who did it. Do you understand that? That's really so basic, so simple, but there are some people that just don't want to grasp it. Then if we go to Romans 8, verses 9 and 10, I like this. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside you, helps you to be stronger, gives you direction, informs you about the things of God, fills you with the wisdom you need to serve the Lord. Do you see what's being done here? You see, it says, but ye are not in the flesh. Once you're saved, your spirit is separated from your flesh, although technically it's still a part of you. But the spirit is cleansed by the blood. That old flesh, that old body, well, that'll be taken care of later at the rapture of the church when your body is changed from corruptible to incorruptible to be like his glorious body. So don't get concerned about that. It's what goes on now. Are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Are you a child of the King? Are old things passing away? Okay, now let's go to 1 John 3:9. In 1 John 3:9, this should pick you up, all right? This should pick you up and I hope give you more understanding than you already have. Listen carefully. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Now, the first time I saw that, I said, hey, that's cool. I'm born of God. I'm saved, so I don't commit sin. I just told my brother to take a hike. And I had a little nip of gin. But that's not a sin, because I don't commit sin. Wrong attitude, wrong attitude. Listen to it all. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him. We're talking about the seed of God, okay? Remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God, under the blood. You see, once saved, you come under the blood of Jesus Christ. But like I said, you are spiritually his, saved, destined for glory. But this body we live in is still ugly. Ugly with sin. And the devil still, unfortunately, still has some control over the flesh. And he'll come to you once in a while and he'll plant unpleasant things, corrupt you as much as he can, so that you will falter and wonder if you really are saved. Well, if I'm saved, if I'm a child of the King, it says I do not commit sin, but I am committing sin. No, you're not. You're not. That's he who has control over your flesh that's committing the sin on your behalf. And put that together with the fact that your sin, whatever it be, it's under the flesh, it's in the flesh now, and whatever it be, whatever that sin may be, after you're saved, is covered by the blood of Christ. And if it weren't so, then God would not be able to look upon you. He would not be able to hear your prayers. You would have no communication with them. Do you understand that? Don't make it difficult. I'll read the verse once more. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. When we are born of God, we're under the blood. And at the rapture, will be taken home. Our body, our flesh, sinful flesh will be changed like unto his glorious body. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You see? If Christ, through the Holy Spirit, be in us, dwells in us who are saved, which he is, the body is dead because of sin. That sin which our flesh commits will not keep us from fellowshipping with him. It will not keep us out of glory because that flesh is covered by the blood. I hope you can understand that. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Jesus Christ imputed his righteousness upon us from the cross. Do you understand that? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Got that? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, in 1 John Chapter 5, 12. The Word of God says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. Well, that's, you know, if I may explain this by using apples and oranges. He that has apples hath not oranges. And he that hath oranges have not apples. Does that make any sense? No, I guess not. I should have left it out altogether. Anyway, I'm trying to simplify it. You see, God's Word is so simple, but you need the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, if you're having a hard time understanding, don't blame it all on me, please. Because it may be that you're devoid of the Holy Spirit. I pray not. I pray for you. He that hath the Son hath life. And he had it abundantly too. And he that had not the Son had not life, which means you're doomed, you're destined for an eternal hell if you don't have the Son. So, that's what this is all about, to get you to make a decision for Christ, to have the Son. All right? I mean, how basic can it be? All right, you've heard the good news. And now it's time for the bad news. Why does that be bad news every time you give good news? Because if there were no bad news, there'd be no good news. Right? I think that makes sense. Oh, well, anyway, let's get back to our study. Let's get back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And let me say here, this is where the age of accountability, you ever heard of that? The age of accountability? This is where it comes into play. And also has a little something to do with the ladies as well. All right? So don't take offense. Just listen carefully. It's all good. It's all from the Word of God. And it's all meant to build us up, not tear us down. You know, in order for you to get built up, you have to be down a bit. All right? All right. First of all, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is there anything wrong with that question? Or that phrase, or that sentence. If any man be in Christ. Good so far, huh? First of all, God, through Jesus, spoke quite a bit about little children, right? Oh, yeah. And, well, let me add this before I forget. As you know, the little children are very, very dear to Jesus, to God. I do believe they have a special place in his heart. If I thought for one moment that the little children below the age of accountability were on their way to hell, then Jesus might just as well tie a millstone about my neck and cast me into the deepest sea. That's how sure I am of how much he loves them. Dear Lord God, this is not a challenge to you, but merely an observation, knowing that that grace and mercy of my great God is indeed overflowing with compassion. In Jesus' name I pray. All right, moving along, moving on. Throughout the Bible, God always generalizes. Remember that word, generalizes, when referring to people. Unless he's specifically speaking to women or men, individually, like the woman at the well. He wasn't speaking to a man, he was speaking to a woman, right? Speaking to his disciples, speaking to men, right? Speaking to his mother Mary, speaking to a woman, right? Okay, there is a difference, speaking to a man and speaking to a woman. I want to clarify that. I know you all know, but it's very important that you understand that. The opening line of this verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, the opening line of this verse is directed to all people. It says man, but it's directed to all peoples. Okay? Now, you may want to keep in mind also the fact that God made man first. Now, I'm not going to dig the women here. I just want to refresh their minds so I can make this known what I am trying to say here. All right? I hate going all the way around the fence when there's a gate in the middle. But anyway, here we are. Women who take offense to these writings, and there are more and more every day, unfortunately. They want to take man out and put women in there, or they want man and woman, or woman and man, preferably. Now, women who take offense to these writings and tend to opt for a female or a neutral Bible, ooh, you're walking a tightrope and flirting with fire. The reason we have so many different Bibles now is because of the attitudes that exist out there like this. I want my share. I don't want to just be a man. I want to be a woman too. Oh, next thing you men will be wanting to be have babies. And I dread to think what the women would want to have. Anyway, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God's word is given for our admonition and is to be agreed upon in whole and in part. To do otherwise is nothing short of heresy. No apology added. Getting back to our text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I could say, therefore, if anybody be in Christ, because that's what it means. Therefore, if any man be in creature, he is a new creature. Pardon me, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Okay? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Man, woman, child. Okay, don't be alarmed. You don't mind being called a creature, do you? But that's what the Bible calls us, creatures. I don't mind. I'm whatever God says I am because he made me. I, for one, consider it a compliment, considering the source. I wouldn't go around the streets calling everybody, hey, you creature, you're nothing but a creature. No, I wouldn't do that. That's not what God means. A creature is a creation. Of course, the emphasis here is centered on the word new, a new creature, and does not imply the opposite. That you were once an old creature in Christ. Because you are a new creature doesn't mean you were an old creature in Christ. Okay? So don't get that idea. Well, I was an old creature and I'm a new creature. No, you weren't. The focus is on being in Christ, born again, where before you were not a believer. Okay. Therefore, you repented and believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got it? Now, if you really are a new creature in Christ, then the Word of God goes on to tell us what it means and how you can know for sure you are a new creature in Christ. There are certain changes that will occur. Yes, they will. Your life will change. Now, if I may use myself as an example. First, what kind of creature was I before I became a new creature in Christ? Before I repented and believed? Well, I was a drunk, a liar, a cheat, a thief, a fornicator, a blasphemer, and just about anything else you'd care to add, unfortunately. Now, remember, this was the old creature, but not in Christ. That's important, but not in Christ. You were never in Christ when you're an old creature. You have to become a new creature to be in Christ. If I may add a footnote here, it's easy to believe a lie. It's the truth that gets you on your knees. When I was a Catholic, I worshipped all the statues of saints which enamored the walls of mammoth coliseums all over, including Mary and the Pope, and I confessed to every priest, and my innermost thoughts and secrets were out there for them. Want to know why a lot of priests are child abusers today? Because people send their kids to confession Saturday afternoon. by themselves, and they go in a little stand-up type coffin, and they're almost lip-to-lip with the priest, except for a thin little blind. And the priest is there, and you can hear him breathing. And he says, "Bless you, my son. What sins have you committed since we last met?" "Oh, bless me, Father, for I accuse myself of..." "Yes, go on." "Having bad thoughts." "Go on." "What provoked these bad thoughts?" "Well, one day a friend and I were walking down the road, and in the ditch was this magazine. And in the magazine there were some pictures of girls with not much of any clothes on." "And you had bad thoughts about that?" "Yes, Father." "Okay, what were your thoughts?" "They weren't very nice, Father. They weren't very pure." "I understand, my son. But please tell me, what did you feel? What did you think when you looked at these pictures?" "I don't know." "Did you feel you had to do something? Did you feel very weak? Tell me, I'm here for you, my son. I want to help you. I want to forgive you your sins." "All right, there you have it, as far as I'm going. You get the picture, don't you?" "All right." "Oh, man. However, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is what?" "A new creature, right?" "Hey, very good. Hey, put some marks there on the wall, okay?" "Very good. A new creature. Also a woman. Also a woman. Woman, woman. Don't forget, woman too. Women too. I threw myself on the mercy of God and became a new creature. And right away, old things began passing away." Now, I'm not going to say that as soon as you get saved, you get up off your knees or your face, wherever you've been, and then everything is going to look differently, and you're going to feel a whole lot differently, and you're not going to have any evil thoughts or bad desires. I'm not saying that. You know, salvation is instant the moment you accept Christ, but the sin issue, even though it's covered by the blood, can take a long time to dissolve, to leave you alone, as it were. It's not always overnight. Now, mine was a very radical conversion, and some of the things that were really bad, I mean, God took them away right away, instantly, because I couldn't bear them any longer. But there are a lot of what you might call smaller things, which took some time. Not a lot of time, but some time anyway. Old things began passing away. The first to go was me, in my life, the first to go was me being dragged by the Holy Spirit out of the Catholic Church. That was old thing number one. Old thing number two was the booze. Then the cigarettes, followed by lying and cussing and anything else on the list. I'd rather not repeat it all. Was my list longer than your list? I dare say that my list was the longest list of all. But everything was wiped clean by the blood of Jesus Christ that moment I accepted him as my blessed Savior, repented and believed in what he did at Calvary. All these sins were forgiven, and I was wiped clean of them by the precious atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. When the Holy Spirit moved in and was finished with me, well, he's not finished, I felt like a brand newborn babe. I don't look like a brand new babe, but I felt like one. Yes, old things were passing away. Now I know that God sometimes works differently with different people. He moved kind of fast with me because because I'd been running from job or running from him for a long time. And not only that, but he had a job set aside just for me. It wasn't a money maker, but it had good retirement benefits, if you know what I mean. I was just sitting around the house doing my usual crossword puzzle when the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and told me I would be a preacher of the gospel to a few hundred elderly folk at a nearby senior's residence. Me, a preacher to hundreds of elderly folk at a senior's residence? I don't think so. I don't think so. First thing came to mind. The next thing that came to mind was, I ain't ready for that. The second thing that crossed my mind was the Spirit of God saying, that's what you think, mister. That's what you think. Oh, that labor of love would go on for 8 years until God called me to be a Christian school supervisor. Imagine that. As Christian school supervisor, where I was the janitor. Hey, how's that for a jump up? Something to be said about that, too. I won't get into it now. Again, I said, on the matter of the school supervisor, I ain't ready. And again, the Spirit of God said, that's what you think. Old things just didn't pass away. I'm telling you, they disappeared completely. Completely, because they were stumbling blocks to what God was wanting me to do. Therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I think I was really finally cluing in. All things are become new. Yeah. They sure are. Now, to explain how all things become new, first of all, notice that the word become, like become new, is in the present tense. All things are become new. If the Word of God said all things became new, then that would indicate completion. But God, in His great wisdom, used the phrase, become new, because it's an ongoing thing. Old things are becoming new for the rest of your life. As long as we love and serve the Lord, we are still a work in progress. Yes, we are. Now, this may hurt a wee bit, but maybe a little Novocaine in your heart will help you get through the rest of this message. Not far to go. I'm thinking that some of you may be searching deep down inside your soul and perhaps asking a lot of questions. Well, that's fine. Well, it's not only fine, it's what we need to be doing from time to time. Questions like, well, I know I'm saved, but I don't see anything wrong with hanging out with my old friends that I grew up with, even if they are a bit rough around the edges. And they like to laugh at the odd off-color joke now and then. Is there anything wrong with that? Or, so I read different Bibles. I go to different churches. I don't agree with God's Word that it's preserved. What's the big deal, buddy? Doesn't mean I'm confused and I go to heaven, does it? Or, so I like to dress the trends, okay? I mean, I don't want to look like old little orphan Annie. What's wrong with that? Or, so what? There may be 2 or 3 times they use the Lord's name in vain. Is that really fair? I can't go to the stupid movies. All my friends are going. Or, I find nothing wrong with having a glass of beer or two with my best friend at the local pub. It doesn't mean I'm not a Christian. Well, the list and the excuses are almost endless. The Bible says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Joshua 24:15. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, or woman, don't forget woman, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Are you? Are you really a new creature in Christ? Tell me now, are all things become new and becoming new? Or are you not quite ready to put your all on the altar of sacrifice yet? In conclusion, I would urge you to read 2 Corinthians 5:17 over and over and over. As you keep asking yourself the most important question you will ever ask, is that me? Am I a new creature in Christ? Or have I not changed at all? This, my friends, is your barometer onto salvation. Now I'm going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to walk an aisle. I'm not going to ask you to repeat after me. I won't even ask you to get on your knees. But I will ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, Lord, your word makes it clear that we cannot come to your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, except we come to you first. For it is you who must draw us to the Son. So this we plead, Lord, with repentance in our hearts and the promise of heaven before us. We believe, Lord, that your only begotten Son suffered and died on that cruel cross at Calvary, that he shed his precious blood to cleanse us from all our sins. And because I believe, I am washed in his blood. And if I should die today, and when I close my eyes in sleep from this life, I will open them again in your holy presence. For your word says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Therefore, I humbly and freely give myself to thee, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.